All right, everyone, welcome to Sports and Stripes, the talk show where we just talk about North American sports. Joining me today, our special guest, Kevin Cadle, is here, Sky Sports and NFL. You guys know him here in Britain. Big college coaching career as well you've got as well, yep. So we can talk some basketball. Mm-hmm. And our resident sports dirtbag from Canada, Ryan Call. big week in sports. It's springtime, so everything's getting exciting in times of sports. Obviously, anything with NFL is exciting, anytime we can talk free agency. And then also some big stuff. UFC is going to be in London this weekend. And some big news in boxing. I thought we'd start off with the big boxing news, which is they've got the venue and they've got the date, June 10th, Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. What do we think about this? Do you think this is actually real? Does it seem like this is ever really going to happen? And now it seems like they've got it.
Well, it's a money thing. Yeah. If the money is right, Floyd was going to be there to get the money. I think it's great for Conor if it does happen because that puts him in a whole different financial climate. But, you know, it's about the money with Mayweather. And if the money is correct, then the fight will happen.
What about the odds here? Like, because I just can't see. I mean, even though Floyd Mayweather had some easy fights, some ones that maybe he sort of picked, this is a whole different thing for a Conor McGregor to fight someone like a Floyd Mayweather to be able to last that many rounds.
Well, it's a tough one, too, because you have to think, Conor McGregor needs to get like permission from the UFC, and I think if he's going to get a contract of the fight, getting like 20, 30 million, something like that,
you don't need their permission.
He doesn't. Yeah. No, I know, but I'm saying, but that's like going back to UFC. He now has what I make, and it's going to be hard for him to maybe even go back to UFC if his price goes too high. They might not just be able to afford him, so he might do a boxing match and then get stuck doing boxing, regardless of.
Well, he has to win. He could Ronda Rousey and just...
He has to win.
Because if he gets knocked out very quickly, and I mean, Floyd, well, you know...
It's not even... Actually, I don't even think he has to win because it's a perfect situation because I don't think anyone expects him to win. Mm-hmm. So if he wins, it just opens up a whole new level of what kind of money he can make.
Would you expect Floyd to be able to knock him out?
I think, you know, the only way that McGregor would win is if Floyd didn't train properly. Mm-hmm. Because the difference is when you're having a fight like this is you have to be able to outlast, you have to be able to lock in, and you have to be able to miss those hits for the whole round. It's not like UFC. This is Floyd will take you the distance. And that's a whole different thing because you just open yourself up once and he just crunches you.
Conor showed too, like when it goes to 5 rounds in UFC, he gets really tired. And this is boxing. This goes 10 rounds. This is a whole other level of being in shape. And Floyd could just wait him out and tire him out and just block him because he's obviously the superior boxer. So I think Conor's going to be in a lot of trouble. And I think his main thing he's going to have to do is fitness just to get to be able to last 10 rounds because I don't think he can.
There's also that muscle memory when you're a fighter, if you're a UFC fighter, that you're used to kicking, you're used to going for those instinctive moves, and with boxing, you have to not do that. You have to be very cognizant. So who would you pick in it? Who would you...
Well, since you said it could be, you know, he could slip up and kick him a couple times.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, didn't realize.
I'm going with the guy with the strongest shins. You got to go. I mean, remember back in the day, Muhammad Ali, he jumped into, you know, a boxing match with would have been a UFC type guy at that time.
The Japanese guy.
You know, and came out with his shins hurting because he got kicked so much. But, I mean, you got to go with, you know, the person whose sport it is. That's a no-brainer.
This is like Rocky versus Thunderfoot.
Exactly.
Thunderlips.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. He just got thrown out. That's just going to happen to Conor. Just getting picked up and thrown out of the ring.
All right, so I'm going to give you a trivia question here, just a little trivia question, just for you guys. Who was the last person Floyd Mayweather lost to? Ryan?
But he's undefeated, isn't he? So he had an undefeated career. So what this is...
Kevin?
Like when he was a child?
Brother.
Brother,
cousin,
yeah, I would say
uncle.
So too, yeah.
Well, yeah, he's undefeated. That's the question. Question. It was a trick question. He's actually lost to no one, but I mean, a lot of the fights he chose.
Only if you were that one guy in sparring session that knocked him out once. No one would ever believe you, but it'd be the greatest thing that you have holding on to you.
It's like, I once beat him up.
That one day.
The guy who beat him up at summer camp.
Yeah.
Speaking of people who are going to different sports, Tim Tebow. Is it a carnival? Is it real deal? Tim Tebow is playing in Florida right now for the New York Mets team. He has had some interesting things, including striking out quite a bit, overthrowing the ball, and stepping in the wrong batter's box for the wrong team. I mean, he didn't have a good arm to begin with. He had like a 47% completion rate in the NFL. Is this just Tim Tebow trying to get the brand out, to sell his
you know, it's a brand move, and he's doing it because he's able to. You know, a lot of people aren't able to go and say, I want to try football, I want to try this. Tim Tebow can do it because of the brand of Tim Tebow. But, you know, why not give it a shot? You know, for me, I look at it, well, you know, people will knock and say, well, you know, Tim Tebow this or Johnny Manziel. But if you have an opportunity to do some things, do them because, you know, life goes on and you have those regrets. So Tim Tebow can say, I tried it, but if it didn't work, it didn't work. But if I don't try it, then, you know, I have to live with these regrets.
Well, you mentioned, too, Manziel, because there's two different sides of it. You've got one guy who's sort of, you know, who's just focused godlike and very nice and pious. Mm-hmm. And you got Manziel's like, yeah, Bravo. And so you wonder, like, if he's given up his career, but Tebow. Well,
I think the reason Tebow could do it is, like you said, he's set. He's got a great broadcasting career at ESPN doing college football. Mm-hmm. He's always going to have that. So he can go play baseball for a couple of years. He's still in his 20s, like maybe early 30s. He's going to be fine. So he has the opportunity. Why not try and play baseball?
But also, let's not forget this as well. It's in springtime.
Yeah.
And that's a crowd draw.
Yeah,
you know, so because you...
Who goes to spring training, right?
You got a standing ovation for hitting into a double play.
Yeah.
You know, a standing ovation.
You were great,
Tim. Like, you would get booed.
Well, it's like when Michael Jordan played baseball. It's kind of the same thing. It's like, I truly believe he thinks he can play baseball. But in a way, why not sign him? I would sign him if I was on my team. Let's get some people down to spring training to watch the games.
You're right. It could be for a crowd thing. Now,
who knows? Maybe he does.
I mean, it's in Florida, right?
Yeah.
So that's where his name is. So I mean, that's a draw there. So
he was born in
Baseball team is not losing anything by bringing Tim Tebow into camp.
So, yeah, until he's governor of Florida, which is probably what's going to happen.
And it's the Mets anyway. Interesting, you just mentioned that. Let's bring up our second trivia question, which is, Michael Jordan signed a 1994 minor league contract with what major league team?
Oh, I know this.
Well, it was Chicago.
Yeah.
Which one?
The White Sox. It was the White Sox.
It was indeed the White Sox. You guys are doing all right.
I watched
ESPN
30 for 30 on Michael Jordan.
So you've been cheating.
Michael Jordan.
You guys got together on a question.
We'll go into another sport, another big sport, golf. They've changed the rules of golf. I don't know if you know this. There was rules of golf that were over 100 years old that they got rid of that were like just silly ones. Like you can't have
Which ones were they?
They were like, can't have your donkey in the cart, and it was like moving the, you know, it was silly.
I don't know why it took so long to get rid of that rule.
But they were like rules of play. It was like basically how much you can move the ball, you know, grass, things like that. Rules that existed for over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
I know a big thing that the golf has sort of changed. I mean, Adam had one. It was Canadian one this past weekend at Valspar, which is very good. I was just thinking about Tiger Woods because, you know, obviously there's a lot of pressure on him, and now you look at his back and everything. He's hurt it again, you know, and all these young guns have now started coming up for him. The whole roster of rock star golfers has changed. Do you think Tiger has a chance to come back, or do you think that Tiger should maybe sort of look towards other pastures?
Well, Tiger's through.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you know, it's just when you start having back problems, you know, and you've seen it with so many other sports, when the back gives up, and especially golf, you need, you know, that's something that you got to have.
Knees.
And so I think, you know, I mean, he had a great career.
Yeah, his career speaks for itself.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He had a great career, but it's just, you know, Father Time and Father Injury have just caught up with him, and it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and I don't think if he didn't have the injuries and the scandals, he would be considered the best golfer of all time. I don't think I have any doubt he would have broken all of Jack Nicklaus's records. He made golf in the last like 20 years, gained his popularity. He shouldn't have to apologize for anything. He had a great career.
Yeah, because golf was dead.
And it still hasn't recovered. Like, it's still kind of faded. There's some guys that are, but there's no one like Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm. That draws.
Yeah.
Well, you got a Rory, but Rory's not drawing the same level that he is doing.
Until you get a Happy Gilmore or a Bad Boy, you're not going to get a draw like Tiger Woods.
You wonder, though, too, when you look at his upbringing, his parents, when you have a dad that drives you that hard, when you fall into a bit of a hole like that, do you think that there's that voice of your dad that's digging through, that there's almost a demon that you sort of get trapped under, that this level of pressure that you put on yourself that's sort of coming and been ingrained in you in your childhood?
Absolutely not. I mean, this is probably a pleasure to have someone where your dad can take you through a career and put you at a certain level that no one or very few people have ever achieved.
Yeah.
So, you know, so at some stage, you're going to fall off. I don't care who you are. You're going to fall off. And then basically he's just falling off. You know, that's the thing. He's just falling off. And I don't think it's a case of, you know, he's hearing his dad, you know, the voices of his dad. I'm sure the voices that he hear from his dad would be, I'm proud of you, son.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did extremely well. You overachieved probably even what his father thought was possible.
Oh, of course.
It's the mentality now, because you see him now when I've watched him in some of the last tournaments. He's really frustrated. And the one he's had to pull out, you just see this sort of, you can see the competitor, but you wonder how that frustration builds to a point, you know, and sort of what happens with him after that.
Well, we'll see. It's just about, the great thing about golf is you can take a couple years off and, you know, it's not really this sport where you have to be in your early 20s, like in football and basketball. You can be in your mid-40s, late-40s, still, like, some people have won a Masters at 60.
Yeah, you've had guys come
like
back,
that.
Jim Furyk,
If I was Tiger Woods, just do whatever you have to do to get your back healthy. Don't rush it. When you come back, you're still Tiger Woods, regardless, and you'll be fine. People will still watch you more than anyone else.
All right, I'm going to add another trivia question now. In a golf trivia question, I mentioned Adam Hadwin won golf. It's a Canadian question, so I don't know if you're going to be on this one.
Absolutely not.
Who was the last Canadian to win a PGA major?
Oh, I know this. Mike Weir.
That's correct. Mike Weir in 2003. Although the first Canadian was Sandra Post, 1968. Ladies, first female champion of Canada. All right, we're going to move on to the next topic. The next topic, we're talking about comebacks, people making a comeback. Vince Young.
Yep.
Vince Young, who was basically said, hey, I'm back. I'm ready to play in the NFL again, even though I haven't played since 2013. Mm-hmm. And he gets signed by the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Now, there's a lot of controversy. Is he doing it to come back? Is it because he's launching this property company in Austin, Texas, where he's trying to promote it? Well, what do you think of Vince coming back on this?
You know, again, I'm from that school of give it a try if you think so. But for Saskatchewan, how do you say it?
Saskatchewan.
The Rough Riders. I guess for him, looking to see, okay, let me have an opportunity to see if I can go play. But it's still football.
Yeah.
And he knows that if he's out there and he's not prepared mentally and physically, it's still football. You can get damaged.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, I think he's going into it with the right frame of mind that if I'm going to do it, then I have to be up for it mentally and physically. I think from that point is, but I don't know if it's, you know, how being in Saskatchewan is going to affect what's happening with a property thing in Austin, Texas.
Sure.
You know, so I don't see that connection at all.
Well, because he's launching this big property thing, so it's wondering about his name coming up. It's his whole name coming up. And you're talking about playing football. You got to be consistent to play football. He hasn't been playing football.
Oh, yep.
It's not like he's been like, you know, you've had other guys that have played and gone back to the States or played at college level or played in USFL or things like that. He hasn't been playing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the thing is, too, because you have to remember, a lot of NFL players go, when their careers kind of fade, they go to the CFL and they think, you know, I'm just going to walk over these guys. Yeah. And they all end up having terrible careers in the CFL. There's very few, like Ricky Williams came onto the Toronto Argonauts. He did nothing. Like, lots of people have come.
Guys will target you.
You know, Michael Sam came and then quit after a couple weeks. So it's a different game, and you have to be... I think why not? You know, we have Jeff Garcia came out of it after a couple of years, then came to the 49ers, was amazing for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's too late. I think he's had his chance. But the field on the CFL is massive. It plays to Vince Young's game.
It's too late. Why?
To
be an NFL player or just too late?
I think to be an NFL player.
I think his NFL is over with.
Yeah, I think NFL's over.
I think he can
be a good CFL player, but you have to accept this is the CFL and don't think of it as some joke league that's going to get you to the higher league, because you have to take it seriously there as well, because a lot of people have failed.
It's and I think you're right about this. Is he looking at this as going, well, I'll do the CFL?
Yeah, I'll do 1 year, walk over these guys.
NFL is over. And the NFL is over with. Yeah.
The difference also with the CFL, which I don't know if he fully realizes, is you got a longer field, you got a wider field, and you've got three downs, so you're scrambling. And Vince Young used to be a very good scrambler.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder now, he's
40 pounds lighter.
34 years old, and he looks like he ate a former Vince Young. He's got it going on.
I think Vince Young saw Mike Glennon's contract and was like, I got to get back in this game. I could be a backup quarterback making $15 million a year.
But I don't think he's... Have you ever been to Saskatchewan before?
It is very flat.
It's very flat.
It's in the middle, but it's like in the winters you get into like minus 40s and 50s. So it's known, and you're playing the Grey Cup. You're playing games in November, which is minus 30, minus 40 for a guy from
Texas.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a big thing, too. I mean, you're talking
about... Well, the thing is, I don't even know if he'll last the whole season, to be honest. I think most people fade out or they quit. So it's like interesting. Can he accept, like, if he doesn't walk in and be the starter, I don't think he's going to accept being a backup in the CFL.
And also be interested to see how he adjusts to, what you guys talked about, the rules, which are so different.
Yeah, three downs, bigger fields.
You know, receivers taking off. you know, getting a running start.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, know, things so, you're not used to be able to go.
So it'll be interesting how he makes that adjustment.
I hope he does well. I think it would be great for the CFL to have an ex-NFL guy come in and be great. It hasn't happened.
But I think when you mentioned Ricky Williams, what I saw when Ricky Williams joined is that people targeted him.
So Johnny Manziel should do too.
Johnny Manziel should.
We could have a nice battle between Johnny Manziel versus Vince Young in the Grey Cup final. That would actually be great ratings.
So, I mean, you guys being from Canada, is that big news with Ricky come into play?
It was for Toronto, It was a big news kind of thing because I think Canadians, we always like when someone mentions us and someone pays attention to us. So it's like, oh, you're going to play with us.
Yeah.
But then there's that sort of anticipation that we'll see what happens.
But what about the buzz compared now to Vince Young coming in?
I think the Vince Young hype train has died.
I think it's
done. I don't think. Everyone's like, oh, he's still around. I think it's that more of, why not? Let's give him a shot.
I think it was also, there was a standout season. We had teams like Calgary and Ottawa playing really well last year. You sort of go, well, they've got such great wide receivers and such great quarterbacks. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'll move on to the trivia question. Yep. We sort of touched on it earlier. Is name three quarterbacks who've played both in the CFL and NFL in, say, the past three decades.
Oh, okay. So I think I can get
Warren Moon.
Warren Moon.
Jeff Garcia.
Jeff Garcia, yes. And
the third one is?
Doug Flutie.
Doug Flutie.
I was about to say that. You beat me.
You beat me on the other two. So.
Here's another one you may not have realized. Yep. Head coach of Dallas Cowboys.
Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett was a quarterback for Ottawa.
Oh, really?
How about Andre Ware?
Yes, Andre Ware did.
How about Tim Rosenbach, Sean Salisbury, Billy Joe Tolliver? Mm-hmm. Was also one, Eric Kramer and Kerwin Bell.
Oh, wow.
Some of the other ones as well. Pretty interesting that we didn't know about that.
And very few of them. The ones that were great were the ones that kind of started in the CFL,
went to the other, not boom, boom, boom.
Very few have done the back and forth. Cameron Wake was another one who was in the CFL, and he's fantastic in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He came over, so.
All right, so let's just talk about free agency because there was a lot of big things that happened in free agency this week. Kevin, what were sort of the top things that you saw from the free agency? I mean, the big thing today is they saw Nick Foles is returning back to the Eagles.
Yep.
But what were some of the big stories that you saw in terms of overall this so far?
So it would be Jackson going to Tampa. I think that's a big one.
Definitely.
Brandon Cooks going to
the Patriots.
But, one that I think that might equal both of those is Martellus Bennett going to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
See, that was a big miss for the Packers, not having that tight end that they could get the ball to. You had those outside guys, especially when those outside guys got hurt. But now you got Martellus Bennett, a big guy who wants the ball.
Yeah.
I think that equals out to whatever, Tampa picked up and to whatever New England picked up as far as guys that can that'll be helpful for them in their passing game.
Now, Green Bay got rid of Jared Cook, and they picked up Lance Kendricks as well, too, didn't they? So they've got two amazing now tight ends.
Mm-hmm. The Patriots strategy that everyone's going to try the double tight end set now.
Well, it seems to be that way. When I started looking at some of the big takeaways that I sort of saw from the first bit was offensive linemen.
Yeah, a lot
holy
of offensive
crap,
linemen.
The money that was being thrown at them. But it's not only it was the guaranteed salaries. Because this is the big thing with the NFL. You're not really guaranteed. You're not like guaranteed a job, but guaranteed salaries for not only one but two seasons. And then you see a lot of wide receivers. There's a lot of wide receivers that just didn't get touched.
Yep.
Well, they also, even a lot of wide receivers, for a strange reason, took a lot of one-year deals. Like a guy like Alshon Jeffrey, who's been signing the franchise tag the last couple of years, and then has the chance to hit free agency, the first thing he does is sign a one-year deal on something. So it seems like, I don't know if people are like, I don't want to go lock in on a long term so I see if the team's good enough. I don't know if it's something like that. But the same thing with Terrell Pryor. Did a one-year deal in Washington. After having a great year, you think they would get a long-term deal.
With Terrell Pryor, he might be lucky he only did a one-year deal because if Cousins gets out of there,
he's going to
change the whole outlook.
He's back in Cleveland again.
He could have just stayed in Cleveland, took the money.
Because one thing I noticed about free agency, you hear all this money that goes in. We talked about Mike Glennon going in, and they talk about all this money that's being bantered around. But actually, if you look at it, it's all the incentives. All these incentives are in there. If you actually look at him, he actually comes in at like the 24th ranked starting quarterback in terms of salary.
Well, I think we have Brock Osweiler to blame for this, to be honest with you, because it was one of the things, even with the Bills, like when the Bills made the decision to keep Tyrod Taylor, I was like, yeah, why not? If Mike Glennon's getting $15 million a year, I'll keep Tyrod Taylor at the same amount who's been in the system and doesn't have to start over. Like, that's just kind of the way it is now.
Also, the Bills really had, there was no options out there.
No, exactly.
They hung Tyrod out, but it's like, where was the options? Where could you go? Who could you pick up that was maybe better?
Or you just do the which I think they should do, is just play Carl Dale Jones and just go for Darnold to number one next year, like a guy like that from USC. Because Buffalo, the reason Buffalo's been where they are for so long is because they draft in the 10th to the 20th position every single year. They never touch the top three and get the opportunity to take the big quarterback, and they've been stuck in there forever. So I think you might see the Jets do that. Jets might just go with Hackenberg and just lose out to get a guy like the USC quarterback.
Well, you look at the quarterbacks available right now. I'll go through the quarterbacks available. Jay Cutler. What do we think? Do you think he's going to start anywhere?
Nothing.
I think there's talk of him going to the Jets, but I think he could eat in a lot of
New York. He can find a job somewhere, but you're not going to win with Jay. So if it's trying to lose, fine. You pick Jay, but if trying to win, absolutely not.
Well, now, do you think Jay Cutler, because obviously I'm a Bears fan and not a Cutler fan, and we had it struggled under him. You know, he's got a hell of an arm on him. It's just not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Jay Cutler would take a bench job? Do you think he would take a job backing up?
No, because I think
not really.
You think he would rather retire?
Yeah, Jay's made enough money. He's got enough money in there that he's been able to steal from Chicago and whoever else. So I would say absolutely not.
And the TV show The League. Okay, let's move on to our next quarterback, Colin Kaepernick. Where do we think he's going to go? I mean, he's still a young guy.
I think he just shot himself in the foot with all the controversy. No one wants that.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with Tim Tebow, why he went away. Yeah. People just don't need that distraction on your team.
I think, but you look at, when you're talking about Kaepernick, you're talking about the two things. The controversy is one, but also the production. The production just hasn't been there in the last two or three seasons. So you keep adding up. You add controversy to lack of production. Why bring it into your locker room? You know, that's for me. That would be a thing that I would be very hesitant about.
Now, you also look at San Francisco is a mess. Like, the whole front office, everything is a mess. And you wonder how much part of that influences and trickles down when he's dealing. When you have a team that I would think is the fans, as a 49ers fan, when you had such a great season, to just being absolutely turgid crap a couple seasons later, the fans, you got to be furious about something like that.
And I mean, all it did was, you know, make a coach change. Like with San Francisco, you say the coach change, but also in conjunction with the coach change, how many guys retired?
Exactly.
You know, you lost, I mean, guys that you weren't expecting, that maybe if you knew this when the draft was coming up, then maybe we could make some moves here, but all of a sudden, this guy retired, that guy retired. So you're losing so much of your foundation, and they just haven't been able to recover.
Yeah, and it's not like they were just bit players. These were stars retired, like Patrick Willis, guys like that. They were just absolute studs at their position. And I think they just had a lot of bad luck, and I don't think San Francisco's that much of a mess. I think it's just one of those things most NFL teams do. Is that you just have to go through, you have winning, other than the Patriots, you have winning seasons, and then eventually you bottom out and then you come back up, you know?
That's it's a part just, of free agency. I mean, the 49ers, they also picked up the Bears garbage, which we picked up Barkley, and they picked up Hoyer, which is weird they pick up both.
I thought Barkley played all right.
He was all right.
Compared to, considering his receivers were dropping everything and most of them were injured, he actually moved the ball. I would have actually rather played Barkley than Glennon.
You know, one of the things that's interesting to me when you talk about the free agency is, the team with the highest paid quarterback, I just didn't see enough from Indianapolis on that offensive line. I mean, you got Luck, who's, you know, people talk about being a Hall of Fame type player and everything else. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, every time he steps back to pass, he's getting drilled.
Oh my gosh.
And they just still don't seem to be addressing that to the level that it needs to be addressed.
It's like buying a Porsche and parking it on the street, pretty much. It's like you're just waiting because, like, you're watching him get crushed and you're like, is this not your number one guy?
Yeah, it's weird because the Colts seem to have so many holes on their team. And you don't understand why. You're like, why aren't they getting, you know, great offensive, like defensive player. Like, their defense is a mess. Their corners are a mess. They were using like fifth stringers last year. And it feels like you have Luck, but it's like, is he getting paid like $60 million? Where's the rest of this money going? Why is Indianapolis never getting free agents
anymore?
Especially
in that garbage division. Like, they should be able to stand out.
Especially a guy like Jim Irsay, who's so like, give me victory, do this, do that. And then they never sign anybody. They just decide to throw out what they do. And they're kind of ruining Luck, because he is a fantastic quarterback.
Well, you just wonder how many more hits he can take.
Well, you saw Tony Romo, you know. Yeah. So so many, you say the body can only take so many. There's a limited number.
So talking about Tony Romo, what are your thoughts? Where is he going to go? Is he going to go to the Texans? You think him in the Broncos?
Tony Romo needs to sit down. I mean, I don't like to say, you know, when people should quit or you know, get rid of. But it's just, you know, he has money. You know, and it's all about quality of life after.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just another hit in the same problem. And he's going to get hit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so there's no ifs, ands about it. He's going to get hit. So, for me, but then, you know, you're saying if he does play, I mean, one of the teams that's right down the road, you know, hundreds of miles away, is Houston. That's why they got rid of Brock, you know, and let's say, that, you know, they think they're Tony Romo away from maybe being a contender.
If he played 16 games, I think so. I think they'd be up there. They got a weak division. And putting Tony Romo, but the thing, well, you got 16 games.
But the difference is also with Dallas had the best offensive line. So you had all that protection. And if you go, say, to a
anywhere else, you're going downhill.
You basically have to assign bodyguards to make sure that Tony Romo doesn't explode on the field.
Double shoulder pads, just be twice as big out there.
Now, I guess we should take on the big team that made some moves, the Patriots.
Yep.
Now, the Patriots have basically, they don't have a trade. They're not going to have a draft till the third round, but do they need it? They've got Brandon Cooks. They're defending.
They've done such a good job because they have a lot of things they could do. Like, number one, they could trade Garoppolo. I don't think they will. They'll see what happens this
Absolutely
year.
Absolutely not.
And then, but... he's a free agent next year, but does he re-sign with them is the big question. I wouldn't. If Tom Brady puts up another year like he did.
Well, we'll see what happens to Brady this year.
But the thing is, like, they could trade a Garoppolo, if you trade McCleveland for the 12th overall pick, like, they could trade a Malcolm Butler because they signed Stephon Gilmore. He didn't get a pick back for that. So they're in a great position.
I don't know if they can trade Gilmore. Are they in a position
Not Gilmore. Malcolm Butler.
Butler. Can they trade Butler?
Probably. He's still got a low salary. He's a free agent next year, I think.
Yeah, I think they
can. So I still think he's on a pretty reasonable salary, but you're going to have to re-sign him next year if you take him.
Which they're not going to.
Which is the same thing kind of with Cooks, I think, right now, which he's... And again, getting a guy like Cooks, that offense, like you have your top five receivers, you have to sit some of them, and it's just unbelievable.
Well,
like
Tom Brady going to be able to hit him, though? You know, is he going to go too fast for his arm?
I mean, you wonder what the deal with Brady and how much longer he'll have. I mean, sure, he had a fantastic season this year, but the year before, the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning was close to 5,000 yards, had a pretty good season, and all of a sudden...
fall off a cliff.
What happened to your game? The game just drops away. And at some stage, that's going to happen to Brady. That's why it'd be wise to keep Garoppolo around because you don't know when it's going to come. It's going to happen, but you just don't know when it could be this year. You know, let's say, okay, we can sign Jimmy for, you know, you might have to give Jimmy a whole bunch of money to keep him around for, you know, as a maybe backup for Brady for a year or two. But they just don't know. So they would be smart to, one, to keep Garoppolo, but two, to get that other guy into the system.
Start looking at drafting up. It's funny, because you're right. If you've got the best team and the best guy, you want to have the best option back up there. You don't want to trade him and go, we're going to find someone called Jay Cutler.
Yes.
You know?
The thing is, but the only difference is what people have been saying, if they believe Garoppolo is the future, they won't trade him. But if they don't, they trade him and get a first rounder. Why not? His stock will never be higher as it is right now, I don't think. And I guess it depends what Belichick's planning on doing. Does he want to coach for 10 more years? Or is he just going to go out with Tom Brady holding hands into the sunset, the two of them, which could happen?
Who were you most impressed with? Anyone you were most impressed with in the signing so far that you've seen? Or in any of the moves thus far in the free agency?
One of the things that stands out from when you talked about the offensive linemen was Detroit basically revamping the whole right side of their offensive line. I think you look at a team like Detroit, you know, we're going to have to do a better job of taking care of Stafford, but also making some room for their running game. It'll be interesting to see what Detroit will do in the draft as far as trying to get that running back, because they need something. You know, that's what they're that one running back away from being a very special team.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk running backs then. Yep. Running backs, free agency. All right, AP.
AP.
I mean,
I think he should go to Oakland. I think Oakland's
the best
shot.
Well, because you got Latavius Murray's up.
But I think if you go to Oakland, Oakland still has to draft a running back high. I think that's really important because they're going to let Latavius Murray go. But bringing a guy like AP, but then also draft one in the second or third round, that when AP or if he's not producing, we can bring in this rookie who's, because you can get great running backs in the second, third round.
The one thing for me that stands out with a guy like Adrian Peterson, I just remember Edgerrin James, who's having that fantastic career with Indianapolis, and then he goes to Arizona, and you don't even hear Edgerrin James' name anymore. Yeah. What you saw with so many different free agents that's happened over time is that, for me, Peterson just needs to pick the right team where that plays the type of offense that he played with Minnesota. One guy in that backfield, you know, that for me is gonna have to look at the team that plays that style of football.
Do you think Seattle's that team then? Because that seems to be one that everyone's really talking about. Is
well, it depends if he wants to be in a timeshare with three running backs.
Yeah.
Procise and Rawls, and then you have AP. I don't think he'll be happy in that
system. It's like the Baltimore situation. It seems like a lot of teams are going and hedging their bets on having three solid running backs just in case one guy blows up.
I would think, I mean, the Oakland situation sounds, you know, Oakland has a pretty young, pretty solid offensive line. You know, they have the receivers. They got the young quarterback. You know, so the arrow is pointing up for the Oakland Raiders. So that would not be a bad move for him to go and add what he could add to the
sort
to
of
that
Marcus Allen it by the old guy coming back again and him.
No different than Marcus, more of a power.
Yeah.
You know, gives them that power type because they'll move the ball down the field with those receivers that they have on that squad tight end. They'll move the ball down the field. Now they just need somebody who can take it to the next level.
Do you think, though, going back to Oakland, do you think that they could have, had Carr been healthy, do you think they could have given New England a run? Do you think they could?
I think they would have lost, but I think they would have given them maybe a better game than Pittsburgh did. But New England just is its own monster. They just make teams fall apart, it seems. Yeah. So.
But you know what? If I had 7 correct numbers, I'd have won the lottery last week.
we'll do a quick lottery prediction before we move on to our next segment. The lottery prediction is, give me, if we can, I know it's early in the season, it's March. Give me your NFC and your AFC thus far. Who would you like shining from each one?
I'm going Green Bay, and if Oakland gets Peterson, I'm going Oakland.
Okay, Ryan.
I gotta go. I like Green Bay too, and I like New England. Their offense is unbelievable. It depends if Brady falls off. I just don't see anyone challenging them. Oakland, yeah, could.
Oakland,
but
no one's talking Atlanta or Dallas again this year. No.
I think, you're going to have Dallas is going to be strong. Like, of course, look at that offensive line, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott.
You know, it's going to be interesting when you mention Atlanta. It's going to be interesting what kind of hangover they're going to have from blowing the Super Bowl.
Yeah
you know, and I'm not talking about when they were up 28-3. I'm talking about with 3 minutes to go, second down, and, you know, they're on the 20-yard line. They could have sealed the game. I'm interested in seeing how well they come back from that.
It's all sort of your character there. The big thing that's also starting this week, which we're also involved in, is March Madness.
You were
a college basketball coach, weren't you, for a while?
For a little while, about 4 years in Texas.
Yep. Nice. Mm-hmm. And so March Madness, obviously, we don't get to see it as much over here, although we're watching at the Hippodrome this year and a few other locations, but Hippodrome's having a big party for it. So all the teams are out. We've got some of the rankings of people that are in. Obviously, you've got Villanova at number 1. The brackets are out. I mean, we're taking a look at some of these. What do you look for? I mean, do you do your brackets? Do you play along with these kind of things as well?
You know, I used to do it on a more consistent basis than I have of recent, because I never got anything right, so I kind of gave up on it.
Yeah.
You know, I do better in the lottery than the brackets, to be honest with you.
Well, it's kind of a fun thing. I mean, Warren Buffett used to do the thing that if you could get it all correct, it was $1 billion.
Yes, and nobody's gotten close.
No, the odds. But then I think he figured it out.
Has anyone gotten it all correct?
No, but I think with all the pieces with like DFS and draft, all the people on DraftKings, so like you got 8 guys on or 8 computers running simulations at the same time. So I think eventually you're going to find someone who's just going to put in all that, and you don't want to lose to some sort of numbers geek. Who do you look for? Because we're talking Princeton gets in. It's the Ivy League, their first time being in it, Ivy League. And then you have I look at some of the odds of some of the other ones that are in there. I mean, some of the guys that are in at the bottoms here, we're talking like 5,000 or 10,000-to-1 odds on some of the guys, like New Mexico and things like that. What do you think when you're going in there? Because I remember when Gonzaga used to go back in, and they were like no one knew the name, and now they're like one of the top teams that are in there. I think they're ranked number 4th or something like that.
I remember speaking to a couple of my friends a few years ago when Penn State was in the NIT. They go and they advance and they win the NIT. And the guys were talking about, man, I'd rather see them in the NCAA and lose one game in the NCAA than to win the NIT. And I told them, I'm from a different school. You got a chance to play and win trophies, then I'm for the trophy versus playing one game and getting knocked out. But I guess that's the power of people think of what the NCAA is. But like Northwestern, you mentioned Princeton. Yep. Northwestern, first time in history that Northwestern is getting into the NCAA tournament. So, you know, that's the thing about it is that, you know, you have so many people where from their universities who now come to the forefront who you haven't even heard of or seen in the past. Now, everybody, because their school was in it, and it gives that little bit of oomph. And I think that's the thing that separates it from any other sport is that, you know, now you have all the enthusiasm that the March Madness gives you that no other sport in America brings about.
You mentioned that because I remember Florida Gulf Coast, because my parents lived down there in Florida, and I just remember how everything was just Florida Gulf Coast. And it does have, when you've got a new university, it's very difficult to break into football because it's so expensive. But if you can make some noise for your university in a basketball, in a sense, it can really bring some camaraderie to it.
And also, I mean, it's great for the university because it's free publicity.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's, you know, they talked about where, you know, Virginia Commonwealth, I remember a few years ago when they got in, and it was talking about how the people who had applied, it went up 75% from the previous years. You know, so it's great for publicity in the university as well.
What do you think, though? I mean, because they're talking about in Canada, for at least the hockey players in the junior leagues, that they should at least get minimum wage if they're working. How do you feel with the way the college players are in terms of what they get, you know, not getting paid, and yet all these schools make so much money, video game people are making money?
For me personally, I've always been an advocate. I have absolutely no problem with players getting paid something. You're not $1 million.
A living wage.
But give them something. You know, give them something. And I think now what they're talking about is that, you know, you have all these different grants that that sports people, because you had a scholarship, you weren't allowed to apply for. So what now they're talking about is making it eligible that with the grants that you can now apply and get those grants and keep that money, but also you have your scholarship paid for your school books, tuition, fees. So I think with that, at least you have some type of money, you know, in your pocket. Now, to be saying, you know, do they need to make $100,000 because you're the star of the team? And no, that's start, now you start having too much confusion. But I think if you can keep an even playing field, because if Kentucky can pay X amount of money, a whole lot more, Kentucky is going to continue to pay a whole lot more than maybe what those other schools are. So to take that out of it, you know, the grant money is the grant money, and it's a straight number across the board. And I think if you stay consistent with a straight number across the board, then
it's
I can go with that.
Like a minimum wage. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong. Yeah, because they have to go practice and do all these other extracurricular things that are taken away from their studies, which they have to do. So, of course, they should be paid. They do promotional stuff, especially when they get into bowl games and stuff like that in any sort of tournament. Yeah, their life becomes a bit more hectic.
And the thing what you talked about on the study, and I think a lot of people get confused because they look at the NBA and they see these guys leaving and going to the NBA. I think the number, I'm just throwing out there, is about 10,000 players play college basketball.
Yeah.
You only talk about maybe 15 or 20 that go to the NBA.
Second-round picks are irrelevant half the time.
And so many people focus on those guys leaving early to go to the NBA, where 98% of them play 4 years of college basketball. So, you know, for the ones that are staying, you know, I think it would be appropriate for them because they're still advertising, they're still helping the school out and everything else. I think that something needs to be done to a, you know, you can't even take your girl out for a meal.
Yeah.
Big Mac is a big thing.
Or if someone buys you a sandwich, you end up losing your career.
Oh, yes.
But it's also because these guys, I mean, the bigger guys, especially the football players, are going to have a need for more of a diet. You know, these guys are going to eat a lot more meals, and the fact is they should get a little bit more money.
Well, school will feed you. The school will feed them.
Yeah. Well, it's just,
it's that extra. It's that extra.
You got to keep the hungry boys going. Mm-hmm. If you guys can choose one team, who would you choose one team? Just to throw it out there, who do you like?
I always go with Duke. That's my team.
I
like Coach K. He's like 70 years old now, so I feel like
he's still got very dark hair.
He's got a bit more. That wig is never going to change. But I think Duke's always in there. Why not go with him?
I'll stay in ACC with you as well. North Carolina.
Okay, North Carolina.
Yeah, like North Carolina.
It's always my second choice.
Yeah, you know, and Carolina is, you know, that team is getting better. You can see them getting better with a close second of Kentucky, who you know, every year he has those young boys.
Yeah.
And he's always rebuilding his team. But the one thing for me, what I look at when I see a team is, are you better at the end of the season than where you were at the beginning of the season? And not every team can say that, even the ones that have made it to the tournament. And I think when you look at a team like Carolina, you look at a team, which you talk about Duke, you talk about a team like Kentucky, they are better, much better than what they were at the beginning of the season.
Probably the veterans and the veteran experience of the coaches as well. And I'm going to go with Florida, because Florida always does well, and I like them this year.
Okay.
All right. The other thing we talk about, big thing, is do you ever go and watch any of the British American football this year? The Knights, the Warriors, teams like that. Do you ever watch any of the And the game
I was getting ready to go last year, but I haven't. I have to say honestly, yeah. I haven't. I've always thought about going, but I really haven't been. I will see highlights or stuff when we were doing it on Sky, when we would pick up the highlights and things from their games. It's usually the same two teams will get into the finals.
Yeah, it's usually with the Warriors and Knight. But they, yeah. You've got the Blitz, right? We've been at some of the
games.
You've
been to the Blitz? We saw really the Blitz. Fun. Yeah, it was like, they won like 70-0 against some team. But it was great. I think it's just a matter of time. As the NFL gets bigger, it's just a matter of promoting it. I think mm-hmm. people need to know that you can go watch the London Blitz and stuff like that, because you never see anything about it. I just think it's a matter of promotion, because I think you would get people interested, because it was at Finsbury Park where we live near, and on a Sunday afternoon when they were playing, we would just go down and check it out, and it was great.
Yeah, for me, it's the word of my... But once, you know, we were doing a little thing, they had me to go to Birmingham to act like a referee in one of the college games, and it really surprised me the level of play.
Yeah,
you know, that's the thing that really, you know, because I'm thinking, okay, oh boy, I wonder how this is going to be. And when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean,
60 straight handoffs expecting.
Oh, yeah. I just didn't expect any kind of quality, and it really surprised me. And I know the, you know, London, you know, the teams that are in that league, you know, that the quality is pretty good.
I guess there's a difference, because there's some teams that are starting to build, and obviously they're going to pay for their own stuff. But what I noticed is I saw some of the German teams, and the German teams are just phenomenal. They are absolutely, like, on par. It's almost like an NFL kind of Europe team, and you've got guys like Boehringer and guys like that have sort of come out of the system, and you see the competitiveness. Do you think that's something that could be needed to almost up the game? Because we don't have a mid-level for grabbing teams for the NFL. There's nothing really sort of that middle development.
No. That was their worst move when they got rid of the World League, NFL.
Yeah,
Europe.
They should have kept it. Yeah.
That was by far. You know, and a guy that used to play for me, Alton Berg, was the general manager with the London Monarchs. And he had said to me, he goes, Kev, you know, with these teams, there's only six teams, he goes, you know, you can lose up to $2 million. And once you get to your $2 million part, then they want to start asking questions. He said, but you got up to $2 million to lose. So I'm thinking, okay, now if you had three, you know, if you gave each team $3 million to lose, that's $18 million. For 32 NFL teams, you know, what they were getting, you know, the quality, you're getting John Kitna, you're getting Kurt Warner, you're getting quarterbacks who were Super Bowl quarterbacks, and there is no development program.
Yeah, exactly, because if you don't make an NFL team, even if you're a practice squad, don't play. If I was on a practice squad, I'd rather go to Europe, be a starter, learn, play the game, and get better, because a lot of people, like Vince Young, could have gone to Europe, and I think it was like Fred Jackson from the Bills was from NFL Europe, and I think it's a good way, and I think the NFL needs a development league.
Because you see all the injuries that happened last year, and it's almost like you need that other league to be able to pull from a whole new roster of people that you deplete your whole team.
The thing with the NFL Europe, the only thing that I didn't see translate from NFL Europe to the NFL was a running back game. They had Phillips, who San Francisco picked up and gave a lot of money, but he just never, you know, with all the problems, Lawrence Phillips with all the problems that he had. But that was the only position, because you got to play 10 games, and then 2 months later you got to play 16 games. So that position really didn't translate. But for all the others, you know, you're getting repetition as far as offensive linemen, defensive linemen, you know, trying to see, you know, what receivers that basically can make that next jump. So for so many positions, it was a great thing for it. But they just didn't, I guess they figured we're losing $18 million. Come on, man. You know, for what the benefits you got will outweigh that $18 million that you
got. Yeah, I think so too. I think they should definitely reconsider it, but we'll see.
Well, there's only an idea that I had, and because we were talking to some guys about NFL and what could be done, and my sort of idea was that, you know, when we're doing preseason, and no one really watches preseason in North America, that for the month of August, say you bring 10 teams over to England and put them almost sister cities, so the preseason takes place in England. So we have the three games or four games here. And say you put New England Patriots in Birmingham. You put Jacksonville Jaguars in London. You have teams all over the place.
Yeah.
Allowing it just like Grapefruit League started in baseball, that the teams get to play, they develop here, they build the local audiences, and preseason, which no one's really watching in America anyway, gives us something to do here. Do you think that would be a benefit?
The idea is a great idea, but I think the one thing that changed, which basically takes that away, is now playing real games. I mean, you go into different places, it would be great for those communities, but now playing real games. So if those teams played against each other, because back in the day, Joe Montana is coming in, Jim Kelly is coming in, and they would play three plays. You know, they play three plays, and that would be it. And people, you got 60,000 people waiting to see these people, when all of a sudden all you see is three plays. So I think, you know, that's what forced the NFL to have to say, we're going to need to bring the real stuff here. And that's why people have reacted to the real stuff. It'd be interesting to see if they're willing to go back to the other stuff as well now.
Yeah, and you get fan outrage because the NFL preseason, even training camp, is a big thing for fans because they get up close to the players and meet them.
In their community.
And they sell it, yeah. So I feel like if you took a team and moved them to A, I think you'd get a lot of people being like, what the heck, I love going to watch preseason.
Well, I mean, how many years have you been here in the UK now?
34.
34 years. How did you move? What was the thing that first moved you over?
I came over to coach basketball.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so in 34 years, what have you seen sort of the changes that have existed in the UK? Because that's a hell of a long time you've been here.
For American sports, we saw from NFL being a delayed for a week. You know, you got last week's action this week. So I think that was one of the big things from going to that to having those preseason games where, you know, they were getting the crowds, and all of a sudden the crowd said no mas. Yeah. NFL, USFL, it was NFL, I don't know if it was called World, it's called the World League. Yeah. The World League came in. It was doing extremely well. I mean, you're talking about 50, 60,000 people. They were drawing at Wembley. And all of a sudden, they took it away and thought that they could just bring it back and people were going to resume. And what happened was people found something else to do, you know. So when they got back, you're getting 5,000 to 10,000 people. But then when the NFL went to the real games, that's when you saw the real explosion of American sports. The NBA only comes in for one game. They sell out within 2 or 3 weeks when they come in for their, you know, for their one game as well. Sometimes they'll play two games in a season. So I've seen it, you know, build and build and build, and it's continuing to go in the upward sphere.
Because you're mentioning about that. They're talking about two NBA games next year. They're talking about a Major League Baseball game in Olympic Park. They're talking about an NHL game at the O2. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a huge, I mean, there's apparently 1.3 million North Americans around 50 miles of London. Yep. Do you see this ending? Do you just see it keep going and going?
Oh, I see it keep going. Yeah. But the thing is, it's and I'm not looking at the North Americans. I'm not paying attention to the North Americans and those. I'm looking at the British people who are the ones who are the main ones who are filling those seats, who have that interest in those sports of football, baseball, basketball.
You noticed that even at the NFL in London, most of the people that go there are actually British when we would have assumed they were American. It just blows you away.
Well, it's even surprising for us, the international games, when we have people down, a third of the crowd is German.
Yep.
And we have all these people that come over from Germany just for the game as well.
Okay, but now, for me, that's not a big surprise. When you know, first of all, they had all American bases that were in Germany. Yeah. So they will have a mentality of American football. But when they had the World Bowl in Germany, they had the World Bowl in Scotland, had the World Bowl in London, they're getting 10, 15,000. You go to two or three places in Germany, they had the World Bowl, they were getting 50, 60,000 people at the game because it's already entuned in their culture.
Yeah.
You know, so it was something that they just grabbed on and took it and ran with it. I'm thinking, well, why would you have it any other place else but Germany? You know, but I mean, because of what was coming about with the fans and the crowd.
Well, that's an interesting thing when you talk about that, because there is a bigger audience for American football in Germany. They have a very passionate, as you mentioned, a history with it. Would it not have made sense to put a game in Berlin as opposed to London? Or is it just the language?
I think it's the language. I think the language is a big thing with it. And also, you know, when you look at people from in the States, London resonates with them much more than any of these other countries that would be in Europe. It makes such a big difference because, one, you know, I mean, even though these guys, most cases, are multimillionaires, very few of them have a passport and been anywhere. You know, so now to go somewhere where, you know, you can't deal with the language, you know, you come to London, it's a comfort level, you know. So, and I think that's one of the reasons why. And plus, London, you know, you talk about it from a point of promotions, is such a bigger name than what those other places, bring to you.
What now? There's a lot of controversy, I guess, from the fan point of view for the NFL games that are here, that we are getting the crap teams. Now, you could counter and say that these teams are going to draft first, so it could change everything, you could get the stars. What do you think to that? How do you think that sort of plays out in terms of teams coming here?
I think every team should have to come. Like, I think it's unfair that only certain teams come, like the Dallases and the better teams feel like they're above coming to London. I don't think that's fair. I think if you're in the NFL and you're doing NFL games in London, everyone comes, because otherwise it's favoritism. No one wants to lose a home game. You think, like, Washington wants to lose a home game when they come, so why should they in their division division, win other team. I think if anything, it should be like division. You send each person in each division, so therefore no one in that division gets
an unfair. So you send like the AFC East or something one
year. In a way like that, yeah. And then it seems like it's more fair than you're seeing divisional. But then again, no one wants to lose a divisional game. So.
But we have, we've had divisional games.
I think you need that. I think just sending, you know, the Cleveland, you're going to eventually, people are going to catch on because the fans aren't stupid. They're going to be like, why aren't we seeing
But you know, the great thing about the NFL is each year, 5 to 6 new teams make the playoffs that didn't make it the previous season. So we really don't know
who's going to be,
how good they're going to be. You know, yeah, I mean, you look at, you talked about like the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
You know, if the Carolina Panthers had come this year, you'd have been maybe disappointed to see the Carolina Panthers because you weren't getting that Super Bowl type team. You know, so we just don't know. Right. You know, with the NFL, and that's the great thing about it. Like I say, any given Sunday, you just don't know what you're going to get or how they're going to respond from year to year. That's the thing for me is like when people are like, oh, we're getting such and such. We don't know what we're getting until that year comes up.
And I think because, as I said, a lot of the teams are drafting very early. So when you saw teams last year, I think the standout to me was like, oh, the Washington-Cincy game looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you got it, it's like, it wasn't that good. And then, but you've got the other teams coming. So with Minnesota, you wonder which Minnesota team is going to show up.
Yep.
Jacksonville, which I think everyone was touting them at the start of last season, going, hey, these guys could win the division. Mm-hmm. Going, oh, no, it's Jacksonville again. So it'll be interesting to see in terms of the game. Is there any ones that you're looking forward to in particular?
I'm looking to see, you know, you mentioned Jacksonville. I'm looking to see Jacksonville with a new coach. You know, let's see how that squad develops because eventually, at some stage, when you start keep getting you in the top five of drafting year in and year out, at some stage,
you're
going to
be good.
You got to start hitting. You know, and so you kind of wonder what Jacksonville, you know, is this going, you talk about that division. You know, I mean, it's, you know, that division is still, you know, it's up for grabs. Nobody, you know, I mean, Indianapolis, their quarterback is hurt. Tennessee don't even, I mean, the Texans don't even have a quarterback, you know. Tennessee, you're dealing with some injuries with Mariota. So you know, that division is up for grabs. So Jacksonville could be a surprise. I'm not saying they're going to win a division, but they could be a surprise with a new coach. You know, we got Tom Coughlin in there, another mind. And I think it's great having Tom Coughlin, not as the coach, but in the position that he is in with the organization.
As grumpy old man in your ears.
Why not?
You shouldn't be doing it that way.
Yeah, why not?
The old man, the Muppets in the top, just yelling.
Well, I think we're gonna wrap it up. What do you got going for this season? Are you going to be back with Sky, or what do you got going on?
I don't have the faintest idea right now, which I would love to be, but I don't have the faintest idea what is going to happen as far as that's concerned. You know, they'll make their mind up, you know, when August, September, as they
give you all lots of time to plan your future.
And then we'll see what happens from there.
Cool. And Ryan, you'll be around for NFL London next
season.
We'll be ready for the draft.
We will be ready for the draft.
Come on by for the draft. We have a big party at the Hippodrome Casino for that. It starts at 1 in the morning. This is a regular thing. This is regular Sports and Stripes. So hopefully we'll have you guys back on again, and we can talk more sports. See you next week.